Your home for Fighting Irish basketball is WSBT Radio, and we have our fingers crossed we'll have a college basketball season once again this year. And, of course, the head coach of the Fighting Irish is Mike Bray, who 20 years ago yesterday was introduced as Notre Dame basketball coach, and he joins us here on WSBT Radio. Coach, it's Darren. Great to catch up with you. How are you?
Darren, how are you doing? I'm sorry I'm a little late. I was, you know, there's always COVID protocols to go over as we're working to get our student-athletes back. But, you know, I'm doing good. Yeah, 20 years. Can you believe that? I was thinking back to my press conference, and we were talking today, you know, yesterday, 20 years ago, we all went to Rocco's, the whole athletic department. You know, I sat there, and the reality of it, like, what did I just do? Wow, I just bit off more than I can chew. I hope they let me hang around. But, boy, I've been lucky, man. 20 years and at a place like Notre Dame, and you know, you think about all the young men you've had.
Sure.
Of course, a bunch of them are on my coaching staff now, which is really cool. And, you know, it's been an unbelievable run, and you're right. As far as year 21, I hope we get year 21 and play some basketball. We're going to find out. We got to get these fall sports going first, Darren.
Yeah, no question. And we're going to talk some coaches versus cancer in a couple of moments. But since you touched on the season, you know, I'm not very familiar with this, Mike. Maybe you can fill in the blank. But I know Mr. Sorbrick talked to Eric Hansen from the Tribune yesterday, and he referenced Dave Gavitt was talking about maybe the thing to do is to move up the college basketball season. I've not really heard any talk about that. Can you fill in any blanks of what the possibilities are?
Yeah, I think that was, you know, people right now with basketball, they're just throwing stuff up on the wall. We're all just trying to see it. And I think that was one that was thrown out. I don't think there's much value in that. I don't think you know, that's going to happen. You know, I think for college basketball, winter sports, you know, we are a winter sport. We have to remember and remind our guys, like, we're a winter sport. And, you know, I told somebody today, Darren, we're pretty darn lucky. We got 31 games in last year. Now, I know we didn't have an NCAA or an NIT, but spring sports got nothing. Fall sports are staring at maybe nothing. Mm-hmm. And maybe we could make a comeback in some kind of abbreviated, you know, fashion if we can't get going in November and December, which – I think a lot of contingency plans are being discussed in league offices, as you've read a little bit more in the last week. You know, where are we with our non-league schedule in November and December? Now, as of right now, we play Army on Veterans Day in Purcell Pavilion to open this thing. And, man, I'm praying like heck that that's the way we get started. But, you know, there's just so many contingencies. And we're really watching football and fall sports right now and hoping.
Mike, you were talking about throwing things against the wall, and I saw another one today, so I'll just throw it right back at you. I saw where Frank Haith down in Tulsa has floated this idea, because you were talking about the possibility of a condensed season. He says if it's condensed, you expand the NCAA tournament this year to, you know, to try to help make up some of that lost revenue. What would you think of something like that?
Well, I totally agree with him. And I know my AD and I have had a lot of conversations regarding what do we do with an NCAA tournament if we only play, let's say, a league schedule, 20 league games starting January 1st. What do we do with that? And, you know, I think that would be just an amazing, amazing, you know, I think that would be cool. I think for young people, in the midst of everything, and let's say our student athletes and players, to give them a little more hope, you know, after everything they've been through, that if you start playing in January or February, that you're able, you know, to tell them, hey, guess what? Everyone's going to get a shot at the tournament. We're going to figure out this bracket and home sites and play regionally. And I got to believe we have some creative people in the NCAA and league offices that could come up with a bracket that includes almost everyone. And so my AD and I have talked about it a lot. I give credit to Jack Swarbrick. He's the first one that threw it out about a month ago. If we had an abbreviated season, I was like, God, I love it. And, you know, a month ago, we weren't talking as serious about what happens if we don't play till after Christmas, but we are now. And again, there's been no final decisions, and everything is really riding on what does the fall sports do before, you know, are the winter sports get going. But, you know, I've talked to Jeff Jackson because hockey's kind of in a similar situation. Heck, their season's even longer than ours, Darren, as you know. I don't have to tell you. And so we have had, you know, we've had a lot of those. There's a lot of different theories, but I agree with Frank. And you know what it could do? Maybe it could capture a fan base and college basketball fans and college sports fans where it's a little bit like, remember the old Indiana High School State Championship where everybody got in and no class basketball? Like, you know, maybe it would really capture the country at a time where, my God, we need something, right? You know, and so I like his thinking, and my AD and I give credit to Jack. He's been thinking about that a little bit too, and I have a feeling there'll be more and more talk about that.
Irish basketball coach Mike Bray, our guest on WSBT Radio, Sean Stiers, Darren Pritchett with you. Mike, how would you describe the mood of your players right now?
You know, I think that's where our focus has got to be. Every Wednesday morning, the ACC head coaches do a Zoom call. And of course, you know, that's not been very upbeat or pop. But we found ourselves today. You know, this is really about, like, mental health. And with all coaches and all student athletes and really all students, if we're able to pull off getting everybody back on campus, you know, and for my guys, how do we get them hoping and back in a routine? They miss their teammates. They miss the routine. They miss, you know, I think we really do have some, you know, young people that are knocked back on their heels and are really wondering. And, you know, my guys, again, our plan is August 1st. We're coming back August 1st. And my guys, you know, I think they think on August 2nd we're going to have a full practice. I think I got to tell them next week when we get on with them, like, there's protocols and there's testing and there's maybe a little bit of mini quarantine. And I don't even know where everybody's – we haven't tested our guys yet. And, you know, can three guys be in the weight room, and who can really rebound for us, and do they need to have gloves on? But having said all that, they'll take anything. Like, you know, what's sad is our practice facility, which we worked so hard to get, it's been sitting dark for 5 months. It's so frustrating. You know, we've got that beautiful facility that we worked so hard to build. And if it was in summer school right now, our guys would be in it, and we'd be doing stuff, and everything. So, you know, let's get back in August and let's get into a little bit of a routine, and then let's see how fall sports go, and then we'll know a little bit more about our non-league November-December schedule.
Mike, the football team and the strength staff and that, they were communicating with the players using an app and prescribing workouts and all that kind of stuff. And obviously your timeline has been different, but have you been doing that same kind of thing, kind of passing along, you know, some things that you want the guys doing while they're still away?
No question. And, you know, one of the reasons I decided not to bring our guys back was a couple schools in our conference brought kids back on campus in late June, mid-June. And then they had positive tests, and they had to quarantine. And with all the protocols, they weren't able to work out in the facility. And I listened, because I was thinking, let's bring them back July 6th. That's what was my thinking. We'll get them back. And then I thought, you know what? I'm not going to bring them back yet. And I think a couple other schools in our league do not have their guys back yet. And there has been frustration with, you know, the players that are back on campus in voluntary workouts and what can they do. And then if somebody tests positive, you got to shut a guy down for 2 weeks. And so my feeling was, in late June, I said, fellas, August 1st, we're going to get you back a little early. We're going to get you in the dorms a little early before the student body comes back, you know, the 8th and the 9th. Turn our classes on the 10th. And we're going to get into something, and we're going to cross our fingers and pray like that. That we can get something going in August.
Mike, if I can just fast forward a year or two, with this pandemic, do you foresee non-conference scheduling being basically regional scheduling? Is it going to make sense to schedule a great game like UCLA? Is it going to make more sense financially just to play teams in the Midwest? How do you see that playing out in the next year or two?
Yeah, it's a great point, Darren, thinking big picture down the road. And, you know, obviously we've got a tournament in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
You know, that we're supposed to be at the week before Thanksgiving. We've got a, you know, we're supposed to go to Lexington, Kentucky to play Kentucky December 12th. We're supposed to go to Indianapolis to play Purdue. And you know, I mean, those are all road trips. And how do we travel? And, you know, can we use a plane? And then, you know, we do have some of our schedule, you know, streamed out for 2021. We're supposed to go to Maui in 2021.
True.
And you know, my God, I would hope maybe with a vaccine we come out of the woods and the fall of 2021 we're into a little bit more of a routine as we remember with fall sports and non-league basketball. And, you know, so I am, but all of that is very valid moving forward. You know, does it make sense to schedule UCLA? It's such a great game for us. But, man, that's a long way out there, and it's an expensive charter and you know, whatever. So, and we do have Marquette coming on, which is a little more regional and easier to get to. We can bust to Milwaukee. You know what? If we do play Kentucky, we're busting to Lexington. I already told our assistant AD, I said, we'll bust down and we'll bust back. And, you know, obviously Purdue is an easy one in Indianapolis. Brooklyn's a tricky one. But again, that's, you know, that's down the road. So I think it could really change the look of college athletics and non-league scheduling. It's going to change the look of recruiting. You know, we've done everything virtually. And we've done everything with Zoom. And I was thrilled in April. We signed 2 players. Get this. I've never met them. They never saw them play in person. And they've never been on our campus. Tony Sanders and Trey Wirtz. And there's a lot of other young men that have made decisions, you know, like that. So it's just unbelievable territory. And when we're not having anybody officially visit this fall. Even if, let's say, we're playing a home football weekend, I can't, right now, there's nobody going to make an official visit in September and come to this campus. And, you know, that's university policies. And I agree with them. And so, you know, I mean, I told somebody the other day, the next time we go out, and you think I'm going to be allowed into a high school to watch a workout in late September? No way. And I should be, because if I come back, you may want to quarantine me if I've been in Atlanta and Richmond watching kids play. So I said to my staff, we may not be physically evaluating players until maybe April of 21. And that may be as good as it gets. I mean, that's the reality. I think in the last 2 weeks, the cold, hard reality of the effect on college sports is hitting us all in the face. And I know the football thing is a huge, you know, topic out there because they're supposed to go first. And our football guys are all back, and you've seen our testing numbers. Our numbers are really low, and I think the football guys have done a great job of the protocols and all the different things and masking. And but eventually you got to travel and play games, and you're going to interact with kids from other regions. And so You know, it's a nightmare. There's no question about it. I told somebody the other day, I said, man, I get last 3 months, I feel like I wake up every morning and I'm down 20 at halftime. right? You guys can relate. Y'all can relate.
Oh.
It's like, man. And of course, here in our town, we're pretty fortunate. We've got restaurants open and, you know, we're pretty lucky. But I have some real concerns about how we play college basketball, before Christmas. And so I'm just wanting to get my guys back August 1st and try to get them in a routine where they can and get into some academics, whether some of that's virtual and online and some of that's a classroom that's been adjusted. I just think we need to do that for them. And the games are down the line right now. Can we get them in a routine? Because they're young people and they're all knocked back on their heels.
Mike, along the lines of recruiting, there have been a lot more local players here the last few years who are, you know, showing up, Power 5 type guys. And, you know, you've got a commitment from one. I know you can't obviously talk about him. He hasn't signed yet. But what's kind of your approach to recruiting these local guys versus casting a wider net still in recruiting?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, and maybe it's the timing or whatever, but I sure am glad that locally, I love the prospects in our town. And that's really my biggest focus right now. You know, my assistants are throwing out the net and we're talking to other guys, but none of those kids going to visit campus. We're not going to fly them in to come to visit campus. I've had kids that have come through town, really good players on the toll road, and have said, hey, can we pull off and see campus? No, I can't entertain you. I can't show you the practice facility. I can't even walk you around campus. So, thank God for local stuff. Thank God for local stuff. And good prospects in our town that are good fits. But you're a real good prospect here in South Bend. And our guys come back, and in late August, they start playing pickup. And, you know, you can come up unofficially and play pickup with our guys. That's not happening. None of those kids are getting in our gym to play with our guys like they used to. Local kid, Demetrius Jackson, Austin Torres, they would come up their whole junior year when they needed, you know, which was a great recruiting advantage for us. And you know, they'd play with our guys. They'd be around. They'd interact. We'd see them, and, you know, all part of an unofficial visit. That's not happening, but we got good guys in town, and that's exciting for me when I think down the road.
Mike, I'm going to sneak in a couple of more basketball, then we'll get to Coaches versus Cancer. But we had a Twitter poll recently of Irish fans. What member of last year's Irish basketball team will make the biggest jump in scoring average this year? And Nate Leshefsky won that vote. He averaged 7.4 points per game last year. What will need to happen for Nate to make that jump offensively this year?
You know, I think we're in the natural progression of Nate coming, and I think we saw it at the end of the year. And I was excited to see that it's now a junior class who got swallowed whole as freshmen, and even as sophomores got off to a jittery start. But I think we can say that junior class finished their sophomore years looking like ACC players and trending the right way. Strength training with Nate is the key. It's been frustrating that he's not in with Tony Rylinski every day, but Tony has gotten strength training routines to these guys, and, you know, they are doing their things in their town. They all have a good routine in their towns, and that's why I didn't want to bring them back and have them maybe handicapped by not having access to stuff. So that's why my thing was stay where you are, do what you're doing. They've all found a gym. All of them found strength training opportunities. Nobody's playing pickup basketball because you can't get 10 guys, you know, in a gym together, you know, but they've got a routine. And I think Nate is on his way, and a lot of that is just growth and strength and getting older.
Mike, Cormac Ryan, you're going to get his services this upcoming year after he had to sit for a year after transferring in from Stanford. When you have that kind of guy, are there maybe some things you look for, you know, when you've got a guy who obviously he wants to play, but he can't play, all he can do is practice for a year?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've seen it with a lot of our transfers who've done the year in residency, like Cormac, and, you know, and there are a lot of memories, and this is a, you know, a pretty grand comparison, but I think there's a lot of similarities. You know, Ben Hansborough, the year he sat out, was really hard for our white shirts, which is our starters, to deal with. And Cormac did the same thing to the white shirts. He is a gifted, total package guard, all the skills, everything, the whole bit. And, you know, he's got another, you know, he's older. It's not like we're injecting a freshman into our lineup. I mean, he's going to be, it's his third year in college. He knows how to play. He's skilled. He fits it. There's a toughness about him, like Ben. There's a similarity. There's a little edge about him. He and TJ Gibbs, you know, twice a week almost square off and fought. And I mean that in a good way. They were so darn competitive going after each other. And what I'm excited about, because he's a strong personality, Cormac and Prentice Hub running our team and being our voices. And when I think about our team, it's like a two-year team. That's why I'm frustrated I haven't been around them this summer. This is almost like a two-year team. And I really feel we can make a run with this group and have some fun with them over the next 2 years. But Cormac, you know, is a great addition. And you plug him in on the perimeter with Prentice Hub and Dane Goodwin. There's a pretty darn good perimeter right there. And they're going to play together for 2 years.
Well, Mike, we've got Coaches versus Cancer coming up. I know the golf tournament is still going to take place this year. It is such a wonderful event. It'll be out at Blackthorn Golf Club on Tuesday, August the 4th. And American Cancer Society, of course, is a big beneficiary. I think you've raised now over $3.5 million in your basketball coaching career with Coaches versus Cancer. I guess with everything not being normal this year, how would you describe the normalcy of Coaches versus Cancer?
Well, it's been an amazing charity, and this community has so supported it. And what's been neat, guys, about, you know, a lot of the money stays in town. I think we have 4 or 5 grants that we sponsor at Harper Cancer Center, which I think is so neat. Now, I really wrestled with doing anything at all in the midst of this and just canceling everything. But, you know, somebody said to me, actually a cancer survivor, I saw him out in June, and said to me, you know, Coach, cancer's not taking time off because of COVID. We still got issues. And I was like, God, that's a great point. And so with the help of Rick Peltz, who's been my point man and done a great job running this, and Four Winds Casino, who's been our title sponsor, we are going to do the golf tournament. We are going to do an online auction, and there's some cool stuff out there. But we're not going to do Night of the Stars, and we just can't. We're not going to do that. But we're going to try and do some things to raise some money. We're not going to raise the money we usually raise. I think we raised $250,000 last year. We broke a record. And certainly we're not going to be in that range. But we're going to do something. And you know what's been interesting? I've run into a couple guys that are coming to the golf outing. I think everybody needs it a little bit. We all need to get out and socialize some. And again, in golf, we'll have our social distancing and we'll have safety protocols, and we're not going to do, you know, a dinner, and we're not going to be hanging out afterwards. But we're going to do it. And because it's been such an unbelievable charity in this area and this community. And, you know, as the gentleman said to me at breakfast one morning, hey, Coach, cancer's not slowing down just because of COVID. And I do know for a fact that the American Cancer Society has taken a huge hit in their fundraising since this has crushed us back in March. So we're going to do our fair share, and I know our community's coming out. We got Blackthorn all ready to go. It's sold out. It's familiar faces. It'd be neat to see everybody. And then in 21, we're going to do it full boat again and really blow it out and do some cool stuff.
Does this kind of take on a different meaning, Mike, after everything Rex Pfluger just went through with his mom and everything?
It does. Yeah, you know, and last year we did some things. The Night of the Stars, we really did a tribute to her and her fight and her battle. And Rex got up, which I don't know how he did it, but this tells you the kind of young man he is, and eloquently spoke about the battle, you know, she was in. And so, yeah. And it's funny because, you know, you have Rex Pfluger, Eric Atkins' father died of prostate cancer. Zach Hillisland's father died of breast cancer. So directly with some of my players, you know, really, really hits home. And with Rebecca, it was really, you know, close to the vest. And our team went out to the funeral services in Los Angeles. I want to think it was September or early October to support Rex. And that was just, you know, she, one moment she was cheering, and behind our bench somewhere on the road, and she was the organizer of the parents to go out to dinner. And then the next thing, she's, you know, has seizures, and it's unbelievable. I think that's been a real motivating factor.
Mike, CBCCelebrationOfHope.org is the website. I know it has all the details and all the events that are coming up. And I understand, and I want to make sure I point this out, that from what I hear, there's a couple of spots open in the golf tournament right now. And you can give folks a little idea all the great stuff people get before they even hit a tee-off shot at Blackthorn in your golf tournament.
Well, that is the one thing, and we do have a couple more spots, so come join us. And, you know, that has not changed. You know, we've had to scale back, but I'm telling you, we're not scaling back the swag we give people. And, you know, when we started this thing, Mike Sullivan and started this thing back in, you know, God, 20 years ago, 19 years ago, you know, he was great. He said, look, if we're going to start a golf tournament, guys need to know they're going to get a lot of good stuff when they come, and that has stayed consistent. Tim Firestone has been fabulous, you know, helping us with it. So we're not skimping there. I'm going to tell people we're going to still fire out the swag today of the golf tournament.
That's fantastic. And folks, it is a wonderful golf tournament. I've played in it for years. It is the best golf tournament in the area. So check it out. CBCCelebrationOfHope.org. Get your picture taken with Coach Prey. Hopefully that still happens with social distancing. I mean, Coach, can you imagine a college basketball game where you have to social distance from a referee? The breaks they're catching.
God, they are catching some breaks. You know what? If social distancing, if it was in effect in Tallahassee last January, it would have saved me some money. It would have saved me a reprimand and a fine, now that I think of it. I'm going to wear a mask the rest of my career so it's all muffled and they can't hear me.
I love it. Since you brought that up, I've got to ask you, I've wanted to know this since that night happened. What you said in the press conference, was that more of a motivation for your basketball team after a tough loss? Were you kind of protecting the team that night, or were you just really ticked off?
You know, I did think it through. There's no question about it. I was really frustrated. You know what got me over the edge was the shot clock screw up. Because that was a big possession. We got, you know, and I wasn't happy with some of the calls, but I've been doing this a long time, and whatever. You're on the road, I get all that. But when the shot clock and the scores table kind of screwed us up and made us rush a possession, I think it was under the 3-minute mark, that was steaming me walking to the press conference. And so it was a little bit of, okay, I'm going to get some things off my chest. I know I'm going to get reprimanded, but you know, the other thing, Darren, we were 2-6.
Yeah.
What else do we have to lose? I might as well try something. And we were 2-6 in the eight, which is why I love this group, because I really thought we found our momentum the second half of the season, and we ended up 10-10 in the league, and you know, won a game in the ACC tournament, and so we came off the mat a little bit and started going. But I'm looking at press conference. You're 2-6, and you're playing, you know. You still got, you know, 12 more games in the ACC. I'm thinking, what the heck? Just let it rip. They've got nothing to lose.
I love it, man. Fighting for your team. It was great. And you know what? The team got its swagger back soon after.
It was. We came back. We won 3 in a row at home and got going a little bit. And And now we could never beat the top of the league. You know, we beat who we should beat in the middle and the bottom of the league, but we couldn't beat the top of the league. And that's why we were not on the bubble, and we would have been in. Now, the NIT for us, everybody talks about the NCAA being shut down. The NIT for this team would have been a good thing because we got all these kids coming back for a couple of years. We were talking about trying to get to New York. We missed that. You know, we missed that. And this group kind of earned that. And it was, I think, kind of a stepping stone of coming off the mat as freshmen when we just got whooped on a nightly basis. So it's a 2-year group. I sure hope we get going this year because I think it's an exciting group to watch grow.
Mike, always a pleasure to catch up with you. And again, we encourage people to go to CVCCelebrationOfHope.org for auction items, the golf tournament, whatever you need to know about Coaches versus Cancer. And we appreciate you joining us, talking some hoops. And we'll keep our fingers crossed. We will see you very, very soon. And, hey, I think I speak for all Irish fans, Coach. Next year, you got to go to Maui because we need another Mike Bray celebratory picture out in Maui like we had a few years ago.
Get that right.
Well, they probably have a dress code on the sideline because I was wearing, you know, my workout look. And then I took my shirt off. So there's probably some regulations on us. But you know what? Maui, I don't know if you saw the field. The field's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
You know what? I feel by then, Thanksgiving of 21, let's get back in a rhythm and have some fun.
All the best to you and your family, Mike. We'll see you soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care. Be safe.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mike. You too.
Notre Dame basketball coach Mike Bray joining us here on Budweiser's Weekday Sports Beat. Very interesting conversation. Always great talking to the head coach and the winningest coach in Notre Dame basketball history. So I kind of walk away from that conversation feeling like we may have to wait a little while for some college basketball. But the idea of expanding the tournament, I'm kind of intrigued by that.
My ears perked up when he said that there's been some conversations about that. That's pretty cool. Yeah,
Sean, I could see my alma mater in the tournament for the first time.
That's right.
I never thought it would happen. It took a world pandemic to get my alma mater into the NCAA tournament. We won't mention everybody gets in, but that's all right. I'll take what I can take, and we'll take our 50-point beating from Kansas probably and just enjoy every second of it.
Who knows? They might be on probation. So,
well, their
yours might be
budget,
in and mine might be out. So,
their recruiting budget's a little greater than my school's and probably a little more creative. But you know what? We'll be happy to take that beating. That would be pretty doggone cool. All right. So Coaches versus Cancer has been amazing. We've been a part of it since it started over 20 years ago. And to learn more, CVCCelebrationOfHope.org.